What's going on, Boiler Nation? It is Wednesday night. It's October 8th, 2025. Happy October to everybody out there now that we're officially in October. Last week when we were doing our episode, we were not in October yet. So it's October now. So happy Halloween season to everybody, I guess, that's into that stuff. But I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Aaron Lynch, back on the pod last week. Aaron, congratulations, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. You and Evan both for giving that shout out. You guys did great last week.
Yeah, Evan was a little mad at me, I think, when I brought up that the fact that she could be a future Boiler, and then I was trying to guess the graduation year, and Evan's just like, stop right now. Stop. Don't want to think that far in the future. Like,
she did get a Boilermaker box. Very cool. For the newborns. So she will be a future Boilermaker.
Very cool. And other co-host Evan Webb just entering the chat here, so cannot see him. There he is.
Okay. There he is.
What's up, Webby?
What's going on, guys? What's going on, Aaron?
Not a lot. Just a lack of sleep.
Yep.
Lack of patience.
You know.
See, I already have a lack of patience, so. Yeah. So, but how we doing, fellas? How we doing? I know we suffered a frustrating loss on Saturday at the hands of the Illini, 43-27. But how we feeling going into this road trip of Minnesota, Purdue's first trip out of the state of Indiana, another game under our belts? I mean, are you still feeling like you did about the team going into Illinois? You feeling worse? Feeling better somehow? I don't know how.
I mean, I liked what I saw from the offense on Saturday, for the most part, obviously, besides all the drop passes, which we can get into, but the fact that they're able to move the ball and score some points, you know, I'll bet the self-inflicted turnovers, all that stuff. But I liked that they were, you know, wasn't a, you know, three and out every single drive. It's just, you know, I mean, aside from the defense being just an absolute sieve, you know, if you hope that they can kind of fix some of that, then, you know, I like our chances compared to, you know, and I know Tanner, you and I talk about the game. Like, I know you said it multiple times with some of the throws, like Altmyer is going to be a pro. Like, he is a really good QB.
And Aaron's been pounding that drum all year on the podcast, but Illinois and Altmyer. So, yeah.
Yeah. Until, I mean, I guess we'll see what Say in Ohio State, but I don't think Purdue will see another quarterback like that until we play Indiana at the last game of the season, which Mendoza is probably a little better and has better weapons. But Purdue, the fact that Purdue kept it close for them, I mean, like within striking distance, you know, that whole second half, it was like, you know, hey, if we can score here, we're within a touchdown or whatever, we can put some pressure on them and we'll see what happens. And then it was just like something all, you know, it was a drop pass, it was a turnover, it was always something, but there was, I didn't leave the game feeling like super discouraged. Just like, man, if we could just clean some things up, I hope this could be, you know, should be able to win a few games with the schedule.
Aaron, what were your takeaways from watching?
I will say, I know you guys didn't have the angles, but Altmyer's drop, some of those passes were dying. Those were NFL, you know, dropping a barrel out there right in the receiver's arms. There's not much he could have done, but the lack of pass rush up front, definitely, I think it's concerning.
Second half was a little better.
It's too inconsistent. When you can't have inconsistent play, then you're relying on those DBs without, you know, the one player that you were making a cornerstone of this defense, Tony Grimes. It's kind of, your DBs are going to get worked if they have to sit there in coverage against receivers and a quarterback that have had chemistry and time. And I think Saturday was the big kicker for me, seeing like, this is truly a new staff and 82 new players. This is where the rubber meets the road. Like, we don't have the chemistry that Illinois does in regards to the program. And that definitely showed.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, Illinois had some of the most retention of any Power Four team out there, probably any team. Let's be honest. There's not too many non-Power Four teams that are keeping retain a lot of players anymore. So, yeah, that definitely came through. But like you said, Webby, it just every time we seem to get a little momentum, we shot ourselves in the foot. You know, up 7-3, driving to at least get up 10-3, if not 14-3. Michael Jackson fumbles. Later on, the defense finally gets a three and out. First one that seemed like they'd got all game pretty much. In the middle of the late third quarter, down 9, Michael Jackson fumbles the punt. Not only that, there was like 10 Purdue guys around the ball. I don't know how Purdue didn't end up recovering that. Yeah. And then both times, after both fumbles, Illinois scores pretty quickly. Just takes the air right out of the stadium. So, yeah.
Just like the whole second quarter was just abysmal. It's like you can just not give up what was like 21, 24, 27 points, something like that. It was in the 20s. I know that. Like, if you just not like give up that many, you never know. Like,
it's a very good point.
You put the pressure on them. Yeah, they had all the pressure on them. You know, there was a whole talk of, you know, hey, they've just beat USC. They've got Ohio State coming into town next. Like, you know, if you put the pressure on them, who knows what happens? But yeah, you just put yourself way behind the eight ball with that second quarter after playing a decent first quarter.
Yeah. Defensive backs had their worst game of the year. Tony Grimes was out, but he wouldn't have mattered that much, I don't think. I mean, maybe from a communication standpoint, though, it could have really helped. That's what sure made it sound like it was a lot of breakdowns there with the communication. I was pleased with the pass rush finally showing up a little bit in the second half. Still waiting for that first interception of the year. It's crazy to think.
We were close. There was a point in the second half that was close.
I mean, even with the pass rush, it was still inconsistent, though, in that second half. Third time. I mean, it's not like what we had at Scorton Jenkins 2 years ago. I get that. Those guys are world beaters. But it's just hit or miss. Mm-hmm. I mean, they do try. I will give them that, unlike last year's games.
Yeah, it's not a lack of effort. It's just, I don't know, it's a lack of speed, size, scheme. I don't know. But and we're not the only team in the country that doesn't have an interception yet. There's five others. We're one of six.
Okay.
So, but still, it's just crazy to me. Like, how have they not lucked into one? Tipped the ball or something. Yeah. Maybe it's coming this week. And then on offense, I really liked what we saw from the run game.
Finally.
I mean, Maccabee ran hard, still hasn't had that big breakout run, but Harris. Yeah, this was the Harris game. Antonio Harris, I mean, he definitely showed off his speed. Corey Smith, number 12 wide receiver, caught a touchdown. I mean, that's one thing I know I told you this, Evan, like, even if we're going to lose games, I like to see young guys performing well. Because that's a bright spot in the future, assuming Purdue can retain said young guys. But I liked what I saw of those two.
Was and there was some good blocks and holes on the offensive line when they showed it on TV. So that was encouraging. So given that those didn't exist in the Notre Dame game, this is a defensive front that was returning and that does have late NFL round talent. Me, that was encouraging. Again, what I said earlier, 82 new guys, this is starting the show that it's truly 82 new guys and all being on the same page and continuity and consistency, it just isn't there.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you guys think Ryan Brown played?
Why is he throwing the ball 50 times a game? That was my question.
Down two touchdowns the majority of the game. I guess we kind of felt like we had to, but that's probably too many.
I thought for the most part he impressed me. Like I maybe it's just my bar was just so low for him. You know, probably not fair to him, but I just didn't expect him to sling it around like this. I mean, he had a handful of balls that weren't great, or like Tanner pointed out, there was one that was just like the ball, like it was just like pointing down when he threw it to a receiver. But I mean, just the fact that he's just a competitor. He's a gamer. And I feel like, you know, guys can rally around that. I think it's part of the reason why this team, you know, doesn't quit. Is just, he just seems like he's got everybody, he got the command of the huddle and of the team. He can just progress and be solid. Cause at first, and you know, like each week I get, you know, I'm going into the year, I was like, man, we're going to have Ryan Brown this year, but we're going to try and get, you know, an experienced portal quarterback. It's like, if he continues to impress, it's like, are we going to need one? Obviously we're going to probably get, you know, some backups or whatever, but like, are we going to be in search of a starting quarterback, you know, in the spring. And each week I'm just like, I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't know. He's really impressed me for the most part.
To me, he's getting better every week. Yeah. I mean, he didn't throw an interception this week. And one thing I liked what you called him a gamer. I mean, we've seen him score some chaotic touchdowns this year, and it doesn't seem to rattle him when a play breaks down. He can still make something happen.
So Trevor Lawrence did his best Ryan Brown impression on Monday. Hey,
there you go. He sure did. I would like to see him be a little more consistent accuracy wise. Yeah. And I think he'll get there, but he's been a lot better through the first portion of the season than I thought he would be, for sure.
I like that he's spreading around, like how you said, Terrence. Like, I feel like last year it was like there was two guys that it was Max Clare and maybe someone else. Like maybe someone.
Who was he supposed to lock into?
Yeah, that's true. It was just like, you know, or like even a couple years ago, it was Charlie Jones and like, you know, a cast of others, essentially. Yep. So it's just like, it's nice to see, you know, obviously the results aren't there, but nice to see the ball, like, at least have the threat of like, hey, one of these guys can kind of go off. Obviously, you know, Jackson had outside the turnovers, had like, yeah, a lot of catches, and Smith was awesome. Tuggle struggled, but he's had some good games too. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, it's nice that if one guy, you know, again, we lost, so it's kind of like, it's like if Tuggle struggles, it's not like the whole receiving core is just MIA, right. Like, which is encouraging.
Well, I don't think they've figured out the rotation yet either, which
I would agree.
Can be a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, we saw Chauncey Magwood make his debut from Central Florida. Still haven't seen Morissette yet. And by all signs going into the season, he was going to be number one on the depth chart.
Yeah.
So maybe this week, I don't know. I haven't really read anything involving him. One position that's really struggling for Purdue, tight end. Yeah. I mean, George wasn't out there Saturday. Tight end was pretty much non-existent. Mm-hmm. Rico Walker caught the first ball of the game, and then he and Evans really got no action. They're pretty much in there to block. They got to figure that out a little bit, because as you guys know, being football fans, a good tight end is such a weapon to have. Mm-hmm. Thought the offensive line played all right. Jalen St. John went out with an injury, but I thought Hank Purvis played pretty well and replaceable. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to actually have some depth to where you're not just panicking, like, oh my gosh, we got to burn this kid's red shirt and put him in, or we got to move this tackle to guard, or move the center to tackle, like a few years ago, Gus Hartwig playing all five positions on the line.
Well, I mean, Odom said that they can go three deep on the line, and it showed on Saturday. I mean, maybe it's not, you know, not a high ceiling with this line, but it's not a low, low floor like we've seen before.
Yeah. Right.
And I think Nona actually graded out really well with Pro Football Focus too. I think he graded out pretty well.
Yeah. So, and then on defense, Powell.
Before we jump to defense, I was thinking about this on Saturday. Brian Brown reminding you all of David Blough in 2016.
A little bit.
And how that's kind of where I think Brown has a higher ceiling than Blough, in regards to natural physical traits. It's just I feel like I'm watching 2016 David Blough at times out there.
I think he's got a little better arm maybe than David. Definitely has the leadership qualities and stuff that can make plays. I mean, that's what, you know, David Blough was such a leader. He can make plays. And that's what I've liked about Ryan Brown. I mean, he's going to make mistakes, but he seems to make up for it. I mean, really his worst game is USC, and that's because of those red zone turnovers. Mm-hmm. Take those away, and he's had a really good season so far. I'm sure Bill Belichick wishes he had him.
UNC. I guarantee he's happy he ain't there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a train wreck.
But he only took two sacks on this weekend, so that was good. I was impressed by that. I mean, I'm just seeing. I feel like what we saw, the progression of Blough from 15 to 19, we're probably seeing that with him. But again, I think he has a lot more natural ability than Blough did.
And we got to remember that this was only his seventh start. Saturday. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard to believe because, especially of his age, he's older than a redshirt sophomore. Most redshirt sophomores, I should say. Probably not all of them. Now that we're in the.
He's had a hell of a 7 starts, too. They've mostly been around teams.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. That's a good point, too. Yeah, this will be his. Yeah, this will be his third road start up in Minnesota on Saturday. And
third non-ranked start, too, against.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all this year, too.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's I didn't even put that together. That's wild. And then, but on the defense side, two guys I want to give a shout out. We could do this every game. Manny Powell and Charles Correa. Those guys, those guys combined for 20-plus tackles. They just fly around the field. They know the scheme. I know Powell's a senior. I hope Correa's got to be on one of the top guys on Purdue's list to retain. And from what I heard on the For Pete's Sake podcast, I mean, he came to Purdue just because of Odom. He followed Purdue, you know, Odom to Purdue. So I would like to think he'll stay. But those two are fun to watch. I wish we had a lot more of those guys on the field.
Yeah.
Do you want to go in the helmet stickers then? Sounds like you want to give it a helmet sticker to both of them.
Well, I think, yeah, sure, we can do that. I'll give up my helmet sticker to Correa. I mean, I don't know how many solo tackles he had, but he had 11 assisted tackles. I know that. So the dude just was – he's the flying Hawaiian on Saturday. He was flying around. So I'll give him my helmet sticker, which I'm too lazy to go get my helmet this week.
I'll give mine to Tonio Harris. Just, I mean, is that Purdue's longest run of the year? It was exciting. It was nice to see. We haven't seen that.
He hits the hole hard.
Yeah, he did. It was a great. I don't know if it was Smith on the outside, but it was a great block by the receiver to get his guy out there, then seal him off. But it was just all around great play. But just the fact that I feel like we haven't seen a run like that in quite some time. So that
been a while.
It was nice to see.
I'll give mine to the punt team coverage.
Oh my god!
I knew it was going to be special teams related.
Gotta go three phases, folks. They held Illinois to 0 punt return yards this Saturday. That's impressive. So to get down there in coverage and holding the 0 yards, that coverage team, those Gunners, they'd get getting the helmet sticker today.
Yeah, I like that. The Gunners probably won't get another helmet sticker all year, so that's all right. All right, I can live with that. And I thought Jack outpunted Crimmins. Who? That's one of the only times I've seen a punter get booed. A post punter get booed in Rock Lane. I don't know if I could ever recall that happening before. That was pretty good.
Well, the problem was he was the MVP last year on that team.
easily. Didn't get any field goal opportunities from Porath this game. I don't feel any. More down on the team than I did going to Illinois. I was just bummed afterwards because I felt like that's a game Purdue really could have been in and maybe even snuck away with a win if they didn't shoot themselves.
Illinois did not play well.
No, they didn't.
By their standards. Like, so it was just one of those things where it's like, if you could have just not, play god awful on defense. Yep. Like, I mean, what was it? They had like 5 plays for it was ungodly.
8 for 300.
Like, 8 for 300. That's what it was. Yeah. Uh-huh. It was just stupid. And at one point, Altmaier was averaging 20 yards a throw, which is dumb.
Yeah.
But like he's a great quarterback, as much as I hate him. Like you said, Lynch, some of those throws were just like nothing the guy could do. Like it was just perfect. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Let me tell you, the Raiders would love to have him on Sunday.
I'm glad they don't. They can keep Geno.
They might.
They might, though. They might. Lynch, you're more so the guy here on the podcast that takes a lot of stock in the penalties. What did you think about the penalties Saturday and the kind of lack of discipline at times that kind of came out Saturday? That was surprising to me in a home game.
I think Owen's press conference after the game said it all. Not being prepared, I was just between actually beating my daughter and watching the game at the same time trying to multitask, I was like, seeing those penalties, I was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
But listen, I know Odom will never come out and say the lack of talent, but I'm
glad you finally realized that.
he might next year. That's the only thing I can think of now.
If anything, it'll be at the end of the season. It was just like Painter.
No, 13 or
14. We'll be like, these guys are my fault.
the only time he's going to do it is after this new transfer window, if he does do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you do it at the end of the season, then guys who are on the fence are leaving, like, screw this, I'm leaving. Yeah. I'm gone. Coach doesn't believe in me.
I think hearing from Shear this week as well, I just love his press conferences. It's concerning to me, but I'm also going back to what point I've made now three times. 82 new guys, that's going to happen now. Yeah. There's no getting over it. So it is, unfortunately, you know, cause of the course here. I hope we don't see this in November. Not going to lie.
Sure.
Because we want to improve each month. If we're starting to show regression, I think all fans will have some cause for concern. Like, did you bring in the right guys, or did you just reach just basically needy positions?
Sure. Doug and Angelotta here on YouTube, really good summary. Front seven on D looked better, not the secondary. O has been getting better. Can't afford the drops, fumbles, and penalties. That's a pretty good synopsis of the game Saturday.
You're just not good enough to
to
do those things and still have a chance to win in the slightest.
Yeah, not against a ranked team especially.
Yeah, especially.
These next three games are going to tell a lot.
Yeah,
Minnesota, I mean, it's not going to be easy. It's on the road. Northwestern's also on the road. Rutgers. Yeah. But those are three programs Purdue needs to try to be on the same level of. And it's weird that, like, Minnesota has become a pretty darn good football program under P.J. Fleck, because before him, Purdue was – okay, not with Daryl Hazel, but before that, Purdue was above Minnesota for years and years and years. It's not really been the case.
I would say we were on par with when Jerry Kill was there. Jerry Kill was pretty good.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. And
if it wasn't for the seizures, I mean, Fleck took that team that Kill assembled and took them to that 10-2 season.
Yep. Doug and Angelotta here on YouTube. I appreciate Coach's honesty and frustration. Yeah, I did too.
Yep.
I mean, usually he's been real positive, even after losses. And this was the most, I think, honest and – true emotions came out. Like, he was frustrated with the players, the coaches, himself. I mean, he's pretty much said everybody's got to improve. And yeah, I mean, I think he realized the game was there. Purdue could have had it, and they just didn't take advantage. I mean, dropped the opportunity in more ways than one.
Did Hope ever do act like that? I can't remember. And if he did, do you remember him coming in? Okay.
No, he was usually pretty – I mean, you know, I was only around him the last two years, and more so 2012 than I was 2011. And that was such a weird year because, I mean, the rumor going around inside the building was Morgan had a talk with him after Minnesota, pretty much told him he was gone. So I don't know how you're supposed to coach the rest of the year when you have, like, five games left at the time. You need to win three to make a bowl, and you're knowing you're gone. So it was just really strange, but – more so, he was usually a pretty positive guy from what I saw. And he didn't like talking to the media, so I don't think the media ever really
that was kind of the thing, too. Was just like, I think that was part of the rub with some Purdue fans, and probably the AD was just like, he just wasn't good with the media. He was kind of like, I mean, yeah, he was just kind of a, you know, a clown. Not, I don't mean that like in the super director, but he was just like,
a lot of media didn't think he was very bright.
That's a better way of
putting it. I mean, I'll throw it out there, and that's not the case. I mean,
he
really stemmed back, unfortunately, to his first season, that Notre Dame loss, in which they took the time out. The media kind of questioned him about it, and he didn't handle it the best way after that game. And from then on, he just didn't have a very good relationship with the media.
Yeah.
Doug and Angie here said, I think that's the most emotion I remember from a Purdue coach. The only other one I remember, and it involves this team we're playing this weekend, was the 2020 season when Purdue played at Minnesota and the phantom offensive PI call on Payne Durham. Jeff Brown was pretty fired up at the end of that game and afterwards with his comments. He did not hold back.
He was running out to the ref that game.
Yeah, they had to hold him back.
There were a few times where after a game, like, Brown, you could tell, like, he would start, like, he'd be calm, he'd start talking, and then, like, what he was saying was just pissed him off even more. He just kept getting more fired up.
And
fired.
His teeth.
Yep.
I'm sure he had a lot more chair throws behind the scenes than we were privileged to see. But this Minnesota Purdue series has been a really odd one. Minnesota leads it all time, 41 wins. The Purdue's 35. There's been three ties. Purdue's on a two-game win streak, though. 23, Ryan Walters sank that boat by a score of 49-30.
It was a blowout.
Yep.
And then the year before was Purdue's only win in Minnesota's current stadium, 20-10, which went a long ways in winning the West that year. For that, Fleck had rattled off four straight wins over Jeff Brohm. He kind of had his number. Jeff Brohm beat him the first time they played in 2017. That was the storm delay game, and Juwan Bentley sealed it with a pick six. Before that, Minnesota won four straight during the Daryl Hazel era, and then the last time Purdue played at Minnesota in the Danny Hope era.
Wasn't the 2014 game? That was like, it was kind of a close game.
39-38.
Yep. Yeah. That was like, I remember watching, I was in my house across from Rossade. I think it was Home Alone or whatever for some reason, but I was watching him. I was like, it was like the first time I'd been excited during a Purdue football game in a while. And I was like, okay, this is good. We're making progress.
Yep.
Nope.
Yep. Nope.
I was going to say, let's jump to blind rankings because I actually
– I've got trivia Purdue, too. So.
Well, mine's Purdue Killers Minnesota version. I stole this from Chuck Garfine. I love what he does with the White Sox.
Yeah, we can jump right in because I was going to say, guys, like everybody wants to talk about Wisconsin being the owners of Purdue, which they are. But we've only seen Purdue win at Minnesota since all three of us – I'm saying we've been fans since 2000, okay? We've only seen Purdue win at Minnesota three times. Yep. I mean, this has kind of been a house of horrors for Purdue, surprisingly.
Yep. I didn't realize that. Yeah.
Yeah. 01, 07, and 22.
Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah, go for it. Trivia, blind rankings, whatever you guys want.
All right. Do you want to do trivia first or you want me to go blind rankings?
It's pretty straightforward. All right. Trivia. It's kind of a two-parter. One part of it should be easier than the other, but for just straight up, when was the last time Purdue won a football game in the month of October? Give me the year and the team.
I was going to say 22, and was it Maryland?
Lynch, what's your guess?
Was it Maryland's the only one kind of my mind that as well.
At Maryland?
Okay. You guys are half right. It was 2022. It was October 15, 2022 against another team with red, Nebraska. Pretty won 43-37.
Scott Frost.
Yep. I believe it was at home.
Yeah, we wore gold. Yep. It was a night game. We wore gold, the gold jerseys. Yeah. Good trivia.
Almost 3 years ago was our last time we won a game in October. Last year, obviously, no. I thought for sure we won one Walter's first year, but that Illinois game was September 30th.
We haven't won a road Big Ten game since 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana, Jeff Brohm. We haven't won a game against a Power 4 team since 2023.
Yeah, Indiana.
Indiana. I mean, man, stop the bleeding. Go for it, Lynch. Let's just continue to bleed. Let's open it up while we are.
So, yeah, this is Purdue Killers Minnesota version. Again, stole this from Chuck Garfine on their Emmy-nominated show, White Sox Pregame.
Who is Chuck Garfine? Oh, okay, he works for White Sox.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Him and Ozzy. Ozzy and Chuck, nominated show. So, I'm going to give... Say what?
Low bar. Low bar.
Sure. So I want to give you some names, and some of them are going to be from the past that Tanner that you talked about with the games that honestly we got blown out on. Like they were single game performances. I mean, it's lopsided when you look at the wins and losses against Minnesota. So first one I'm going to start with is running back of Shannon Brooks in 2015. Shannon Brooks busted onto the scene as a freshman here, rushing with 17 rushes and 176 yards on the ground against Hazel and crew. Production went down for Brooks every single year. He was never the same running back, really, after this season. Purdue lost this game against Minnesota 41-13. So where do you rank in your the Minnesota version of Purdue Killers?
I remember the name. Don't remember the game. 2015 was an awful season. 2-10, if I believe. I mean, in the score you said, I mean, that's just a whooping. I'll put him at 4.
That's what I was going to put him at 4, because I just, that, I mean, who wasn't a Purdue killer?
Yeah, I remember the name, but yeah. He didn't go on to have a stellar career or anything.
No, he didn't, because the next guy here kind of took some shine off of him. Muhammad Ibrahim, 2018.
Oh, yeah. Was it Ibrahim?
Ibrahim, sorry. He went. Yeah. He played for the Lions last. Yep. He had a nasty injury.
Yes.
In 2018, he put up 156 yards and 18 rushes against Jeff Brohm and company. It was, I don't know if you all remember it.
Oh, I heard 41-10 in the snow.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And the rumors started swirling about Louisville. I was depressed. I'm like, we're going to lose our coach. We're going to lose the next few games. We're not going to make a bowl. This sucks. We're going to go back into the dumpster fire. We're going to go hire Les Miles. We're going to.
Yep.
I'm putting him at 2. That was I remember directly watching that game. Yeah. And I was just so pissed because most of that year was a bright spot. And that was just a whooping.
Yeah. I also had it too.
Right. I that's kind of where I was hoping you all take it, because that's what I was remembering. I was like, this NFL running back. And I don't know if you all remember, Devondre Campbell was on that defense too. Played for the Packers. Maybe you should know, being a Bears fan with the dreads. Totally forgot he was at Minnesota. So, all right. Next one. Lawrence Maroney, 2005.
I was waiting for him. God.
Yep. I remember that game. Oh. In the Metrodome. Maroney had 46 carries. Holy
double
crap.
Overtime. I'm still double fired overtime. Up 20 years later.
Double overtime win, had 217 yards on the ground.
Yeah.
He even had a pass attempt that game, if you all remember.
Bernard Pollard about killed a guy that game.
Yes.
He's spine busted a dude. He literally, it would be illegal now. He'd get a flag out. But that team was loaded. They're ranked 13th, I believe, at the 11th. Time Purdue was. 11th. And they went on a big losing streak, 5-7, Tiller's first year not making a bowl. I put Maroney number one. He was a good college player, ended up being a pretty good pro too. So, yeah, he killed Purdue that day. And that was a good Purdue defense. Nobody ran on Purdue defenses back then. Now everybody does. But nobody did back then. So, yeah.
Yeah. I hate to agree with it, but I remember that. Yeah, I remember, I forgot about that Bernard Pollard play too. I remember watching that.
Boom.
Yep.
Land him down. It was like WWE. But, I remember that. And in the old Metrodome on an actress.
What a piece of crap place that was.
Yeah, that place was awful.
Especially for Twins games.
All right. So what do you both have? Three and five left?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. This one should be close to Tanner's heart because he's already brought up that game. Philip Nelson, the quarterback for Minnesota in 2012. This was his second start. And if you remember, he completed 12 straight passes to start the game. Had 3 touchdowns on it. And Minnesota went out in a first half lead of 34-7 because of this.
Yeah, end up 44-28. We finally made a quarterback switch late, but didn't matter at that point. But I remember watching in my apartment and being frustrated because, you know, I'm manager at the time, like, well, practice gonna suck tomorrow. And one of my other roommates was rooting for Minnesota, which pissed me off even more. What numbers do we have left?
You both have 3 and 5.
I'm letting Evan go first here.
I'll put it at 5. I don't remember this. It was,
I'll put it at 3 because I'm sure practice sucked next day. I don't remember, but I'm sure it did.
No time is illusion. I think you all are going to want to re-rank this one.
Yeah.
So the last one, I had to do it. Barnhart Hall and Robbie's knee.
Oh, my God.
It's truly
5. I don't want to talk about it.
That's truly the worst Purdue killer, I would think. Minnesota version, that is, regardless of basketball or football.
I mean, I guess the thing that, I mean, it's always going to sting, but at least Rob went back 2 years later and had a great game there, but.
Yeah, we tore it later that fall. Good.
No, not, that was the next year, not 2 years later.
No, it was that October. He tore it in February and retore it in practice.
Right.
Yeah, but what I meant, well, 2 seasons later, when I should say then, he went back and went tore back, them correct. Up. Tore them up. That's what I was trying to say. But yeah, no. See, you guys are getting tricky now with your throwing basketball in here with the football blind rankings.
So
now
I got, last week
next week, I'm going to have to really be careful with my strategy next week now.
I was wondering when you started this, like, I wonder if he's going to throw like a bass, like a, who is the guy who was a beast on the boards for Minnesota? Like
Murphy. Like,
Humphreys? Murphy.
2019, I was like
Murphy,
like Murphy
six,
in there,
6'7" senior or center.
Yeah. No, I remember I was Tan. I was visiting Purdue as a senior in high school. I stayed with you that, and then I was able to sat in the student section that game. I remember he was just like, "Did you get a text from somebody?"
Aaron.
It was you? Yeah, it was right. It was you
because Aaron wasn't at Purdue yet.
Yeah,
and it was I thought like, he was joking. I'm like,
you were like, "There's no way." And then you could just like feel the ripple effect in the student section of like people were starting to find out. And just like there was like a solid 10 minutes where no one was paying attention to the football game whatsoever. We were with a guy who just like up and left the game.
He left.
He was so distraught. He just left the game.
And Purdue had a good football win that day, but nobody cared as they should.
Yeah.
Nobody cared.
Yeah. We were like preseason. We preseason number one. And like, I think it was like Andy Katz dropped us to like 24 or something like that or something stupid. Yep.
Playboy had us number one. I still want to get my hands on that edition. I'll leave it at that.
So how would you rank him?
Robbie's one. Nothing else matters after that.
Yeah, I'd move Rob to one and Maroney two. I'll shift everybody back one. I'd be fine with that.
That was going to be a good trip down memory lane.
Always is. So fun on these blind rankings.
Basketball should be more fun because we should have some
good ones.
Football's been painful.
Oh, we can get in the vault and rip some heartbreakers in basketball too. But
see, like, you're right. The nice thing is that 2024 healed a lot of those wounds for me. Like,
we have not had that in football yet.
Yeah.
I would love to do a full Purdue killers, like top 10 killers, both basketball and football. I think Barnhart Hall's floor and Robbie's knee is probably up there on top five, but I'm trying to think of others.
Evan, I think Orton Turner. Fumble,
Evan Turner, Orton Fumble,
Diebler,
Buford,
anywhere from Ohio State and from 2007 to 2012.
Carl here on YouTube compared to 2024. I'm glad coaches and fans are frustrated. We care about Purdue football again. It's good to care. I mean, we've always cared here, but yeah, absolutely. We'll have to do something like that sometime, Lynch. I think you're onto something there. Some killers in football and basketball moments, players, games. Yeah.
I think Chuck.
We love misery. We love misery.
It's not mine. It's just me watching Chuck's program.
Hey, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. So. you guys want to pick some games and then we'll pick, do our predictions for the Purdue game?
Do we want to preview this game first?
I mean, we could do that with our prediction or score prediction.
Let's go pick some games then.
And the Cubs won, if anybody cares out there.
Yeah, I just
Big Ten Friday night, Rutgers at Washington, who's a 10.5-point favorite.
Man, what's the mileage that Rutgers has to travel for this game?
A lot. Cinder equipment guys probably left Monday.
They drive,
right?
They drive truck.
Yeah.
God.
That's
miserable. what's the spread?
10.5.
I think Washington covers that.
I do too.
Yep.
They're better than I thought they were going to be. I feel they're pretty good. I thought they're a lot better than I thought they were going
to
be.
Yeah, they were down a lot at Maryland and came back and won. So, Fox, big new number one, Ohio State is a 14.5-point favorite at number 17, Illinois.
I think Ohio State doubles that. I think it'll be close the first half, but I think Ohio State's just too good.
got weapons everywhere. I think Illinois keeps it close for half, and then Ohio State pulls
away. The fact that Purdue could put up points in Illinois, like, what's Jeremiah Smith going to do?
Yep. Like, my bold prediction of them making a Big Ten title game ain't happening now.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, it's not only that. There's too many other good teams right now in the Big Ten, too. So.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Sure. UCLA with maybe the upset of the last 20 years, if you're not, or maybe 30 years, if you take out Appalachian State over Michigan in 07, at Michigan State, who's an 8.5-point favorite. I'm taking Sparty. I think
I am too.
UCLA comes back down to earth.
Yeah, I don't think Michigan State's that good.
I don't either, Aaron, but.
You just wonder if, like, UCLA's just been feeling themselves all week because of one.
Yeah, give me Sparty.
I mean, because that was the first. That was a first time coordinator, right? The guy who was calling the plays, like, mm-hmm. He hadn't called plays here. Now you got
tape on him.
It's on tape. Yeah.
Yeah, he was. I remember he was their quarterback like 10 years ago, right?
Yep. His dad was coach. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, his dad was coach of Washington when they played us in the Rose Bowl all those years ago.
Oh, okay.
Rick. Yep. So there was a cool thing. He works for CBS in studio.
Yeah, it was a cool video.
There was a cool footage of him watching. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Nebraska, 6.5-point favorites at Maryland. Both teams 4-1.
Yeah.
I'll take Maryland. Why not?
Mike Locksley has been very underappreciated. I will say that.
Yeah.
I think last week, unfortunately, I still think third year Matt Rule's teams, they perform, so I'm going to go Nebraska.
That's fair. I'm going to stick with Maryland. I think it's a close one.
If Maryland would have won last week, I think they're ranked this week. 5-0, but
yep.
Pray for Northwestern. They go to a pissed off Penn State team who's 21.5-point favorites. It's going to get ugly.
Yeah, it's going to get real ugly.
Is it? Because, I mean, Drew Aller does not look that good.
Oh, if Franklin loses, he's fired after the game.
There's no way.
That's my bold prediction.
There's no way they're going to pay that pie out.
Oh, they'll find a way.
I guarantee UNC would be at the doorstep asking, you want him? We'll take him from you.
if he's done at Penn State come December – He'll get a job real quickly. I mean, he's a good coach. I think it's time for a split for both parties. He's got them back to relevancy, but he can't get over to the next hump. It's just not going to happen.
They could do a lot worse.
They could do a lot worse.
But look at Nebraska. I mean,
that's example one. Example one A. Do not do that. Like, keep this guy regardless. I understand.
He can't win the big one.
If he wins on Ohio State, which he never has, then I think this is all water under the bridge. But Drew Aller can't.
I guess I'm already checking that up on SNL. So Drew Aller for a fourth year senior has regressed. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, he's not impressive.
He might be a UD like undrafted free agent at this point. He looks horrendous.
Yeah.
But yes, give me the Cats.
I couldn't name a single player on. Actually, I could name one player on Northwestern. I take that back. Yanni.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I can't. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't DeMilo there?
No, he's at.
He's at Nebraska, isn't he?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. He's at Nebraska. Is. Sorry.
It was on our game. He went to.
Yeah, he's on our game.
On our game. He went to Northwestern. Yeah.
Oh, that's sad. We're
and North Texas.
Weaving into reality.
Yeah, well, you know. That's all I have to look forward to, okay? Go Rice. Everybody's like, turn the podcast off now. We just lost everybody. Game day out in Eugene.
This is game day. I didn't see that.
Yeah, this is game day.
Makes sense. I was shocked game day wasn't in Alabama for Missouri, Alabama.
Isn't also this weekend the Red River Shootout?
I saw. Yeah, but Texas is just losing everywhere.
I figured that's right. Still because of the SEC and
I thought they might go to Champaign's. Never had it. They're one of the only schools. I thought they might go there.
Because of the fact that they got their doors blown off a couple weeks ago, I think that, that ruined it.
Yeah. Well, and this is a top 10 matchup. Yeah. Number 7, Indiana. I just puked in my mouth. At number 3, Oregon. Oregon's only a 7.5-point favorite now. It was 13.5 at one time.
Yeah. I'm seeing a lot of people saying – I saw quite a few people predicting with the upset.
Guys, if Indiana wins this game, we have to start taking them seriously as national title contenders. I hate saying that, but
– Yep.
I don't think they're going to win. I think Oregon wins by about 13. But if IU wins, like, we got to start not only taking them serious for the Big Ten, but for a bigger picture.
I was listening to what Gary Danielson was saying today because he's calling the game. And he really believes IU has a shot of winning this game.
I think they do, too. I think their defense is solid. I think
they get off a good start.
We'll see what Oregon – I think Oregon's defense is going to – I think that's where it's going to be won or lost is on. Cause I think, I do wonder because Dante Moore's a freshman, right? So you do wonder like a freshman versus that
sophomore? No, he's a sophomore.
Okay.
Sophomore.
Right. Yeah,
he started as a true freshman under Chip Kelly at UCLA.
That's right. Okay. I don't know. I trust Dan Lanning though. He's a hell of a coach. I think it'll be a good game, unfortunately. But I think I'd like to maybe like, it'd be 13, but only because of like a backdoor like touchdown with like a minute left or something where it was a 20-point game, but
like their Ohio State game last year.
Yeah.
Dan Lanning, I was here the other day. I listened to him like Lynch does with the White Sox. I listened to a lot of Broncos stuff during games, pregame, postgame. And an insider said Dan Lanning and Matt Campbell are the two college coaches right now that NFL circles are kind of sniffing around. Right now, they're the two. So
he's got it made out there, though. That's
He does. Campbell might leave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if he hasn't left for another college job, by this point, pro is probably the next step. But Lanning with the resources of Phil Knight.
Yep.
They got screwed last year by their own success of getting the bye week and having. Yep.
Good point.
I think he's a hell of a coach, and both teams have had off, but I think Dan Lanning's just an absolute psycho in like the best way possible.
he's good. Oregon's had so many good coaches in a row. Taggart was interesting.
Cristobal was good. I mean, he's having success in Miami.
I always forget Cristobal was there. I always forget that.
Yep.
He leave for Miami.
Yep, he left for Miami because he's a alumnus there.
He went back home and he could recruit. He knew how to recruit down there. It was perfect fit. Iowa 3.5-point favorites at Wisconsin. Have you guys seen Wisconsin's remaining schedule?
Yep. No.
All right. So they got Iowa this week, Ohio State at home the following week, at Oregon.
Woof.
Washington at home, at Indiana.
Oh my
Illinois God. At home, at Minnesota.
God. Oh my God. Luke,
I'm thinking 4-8 might be the ceiling.
Yeah.
Fickle's done, man.
Yeah.
Is
there a quarterback?
Why can't we get
all this year?
Edwards.
I saw he might play this week.
Yeah. It's kind of line up more set with us. You just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does he just, maintain?
Yeah, they need him because O'Neal's been awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shout out to. That means I'm taking Wisconsin. Why not?
No, Iowa.
If Iowa has to play their backup QB, who is look like he had never thrown a football in his life prior to that fourth quarter against Indiana. Wisconsin should win, but
I'll take Wisconsin at home, but I thought Fickell was the perfect guy to go up there, and it just not went well. Of course, I didn't think he was going to go up there. Let's scrap everything that's worked the last 30 years for Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Start fresh and bring in this air raid.
Never should have fired Paul Christ.
Yeah, so the grass isn't always greener.
Nope.
This should be a good one. Number 15, Michigan at USC, who is a 2.5-point favorite.
Give me Michigan on this one. I think they're trending.
Yeah.
I'll go USC. Nothing will surprise. I think Michigan's better in the trenches, but I think USC has more athletes and a better quarterback.
USC's banged up.
Yeah, that's true.
They've had some injuries. That's why.
They need this one, though, if they want any chance of doing something. And they got at Notre Dame next week. So, yeah. Top 25. Let's see if we have any decent matchups here.
Got a few.
We do. We have Alabama, Missouri.
Yeah, number 8, Alabama, 3.5-point favorite at Missouri, who's number 14. I'll take Alabama. I think they're focused now more than they have been all year.
I think so, too.
Give me Missouri.
I see this line's flipped since Monday. As of Monday, Texas was actually favored in this game, and now number 6 really? Oklahoma is a 1.5-point favorite. Yeah, I think Texas Oklahoma was a 2.5-point favorite on Monday. I do, too. I do, too.
I don't know. I feel like both these teams are imposters to me.
Yeah, I think Wisconsin, wow. I think Oklahoma's a little overrated at 6. But
yeah, I do, too.
I mean, the refs gave him that Auburn game, and Auburn's not that good.
You're right. They did.
And Mateer's supposed to be back this week, so
yeah.
I don't think he did.
He was a Heisman candidate, like just the first like 3 weeks.
I don't see either team. This is imposter, and I really don't care who wins this game. To be honest.
Fair. Shout out to I hate the AP poll, but shout out to the writers for actually like. Mm-hmm. Doing something and dropping them and Penn State out of the rankings for losing god awful games.
Yep. Preseason number 1 and 2, not ranked.
Do you think Napier saved his job last week?
No.
Oh. Good win for him, but no.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
Especially this week.
Yeah.
Who's it? Oh, at A&M. Texas A&M. How's A&M only 7.5-point favorite in that?
I don't know.
SEC, who knows? I don't know. I don't believe
it. I guess Florida does have talent, but. Yeah. No. I think A&M cruises in that one. I think Georgia whoops Auburn at Auburn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think LSU smokes South Carolina. Notre Dame's going to smoke NC State, unfortunately. Man, that spreads up to 23.5. Holy crap.
South Carolina's
4-2. It's not like they're awful.
With
I hope Iowa State smacks Colorado.
South Carolina being 3-2. Do you think Beamer potentially looks if things don't go well? Do you think he looks at Virginia Tech? I know he kind of took. Yeah, I think he took South Carolina to kind of like make his own path, but I don't know.
Virginia Tech would give him a leash. So.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's tough too, though. That's so tough. I mean, it's your dad, but still, it's like, that's a lot.
Easier conference.
Easier conference, family legacy. Your dad created that. You're just wanting to add on to it, pretty much.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to business here. Purdue, Minnesota. So line's down to 7.5 here. It opened up 10.5. I don't know a ton about Minnesota. I know Lindsey's their quarterback. Their loss at Cal's not aging very well right now. They got blitzed by Ohio State last week, but Ohio State blitzes everybody. So
I don't think their offense is great. Now we'll see how that fares against Purdue's Swiss cheese secondary. But I don't know.
Barry's very familiar with Lindsey. He and Garrett went to the same high school in Fayetteville. So.
Yep.
Can't hurt.
Three former
Broilers on Minnesota's roster.
Who? I know.
I gotta pull it up now.
Oh, who's the one I was thinking of?
Drew Bibber.
Bibber. That's what I was thinking of.
And then I gotta look it up here.
Yep.
Yeah. I gotta look it up. I just read it earlier this week. Mo, the lineman, Mo.
Amada Day or whatever.
Yep, he's there.
Wasn't he from West Lafayette?
Yep.
A traitor.
Now I gotta find the other guy. Just sort of my previous school here.
It's great audio.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Jaden Ball. So two offensive linemen.
Okay.
Yeah. Four offensive linemen, defensive linemen, and no.
Tight end.
Or D. That's a D.
Offensive lineman, defensive lineman, and tight end. Yep. I don't know if any of them are doing anything, but they're there. Yep. They must like rowing the boat.
I mean, Chris like, I mean, his teams are usually pretty consistent.
Yeah, they are. They're tough.
I go back to when him and Brom were hired. It was like, you know, who's going to be in the school longer? And I was like, I would have bet my non-existent mortgage at the time that
100% Brom
would have stayed in pretty weight. I thought Fleck was two and done. Like, he's going to have two.
Now he's in year nine.
Yeah, he's going to have like two, you know, eight win years and get, you know, poached by the SEC or something, because I thought he was really slimy. But yeah, credit to him. Good old.
Yeah, he's a vet now. He's a vet in the Big Ten.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just remember his wife had wanted nothing to do with us during that time period.
Yeah, was that true? Really like, was that true?
It wasn't big enough city.
That's the rumor, at least.
Yeah.
Indy's an hour away, lady. Come on.
Yeah, but when you're in Minneapolis, it's kind of a little different.
Yeah.
Colder there.
Yeah.
Very much colder. Maybe she liked wearing fur coats. I don't know.
Big Timberwolves fan. She is.
Wild, more or less.
Lynx.
yeah.
They don't have a soccer team, do they? I don't think they do.
No, they have all major sports. I because they're the only.
No way they have soccer with how cold it is up there.
I believe they do. I'll look it up. But let's get to our score prediction, yeah. Bowl prediction, spice predictions. Yeah. Let's get some good audio going.
I'll go first. Boilers by a million. No, I'm just
really?
No, I picked Purdue to win. Duh. I'm saying 30-27. man. I'll say bold prediction, Purdue forces an interception. Just rinse and repeat from last week. Spicy prediction. Man,
I called for two last week. I was way off.
See, man, Purdue secondary gives up less than 220 yards to the air.
Sure.
I like our chances if that happens.
While you're thinking, I'll kill some dead air time. Minnesota does have an MLS team. It's Minnesota United FC. So they have all major sports teams, and yet they have not won a championship on any of them. Shout out to the Twins living in utter abyss. I'll kill the airtime then, since you want to think some more.
All right. Go ahead. All right. Go ahead.
Minnesota 35-17 over Purdue.
Oh, my
God. Anthony Smith is going to be the player of the game with three sacks.
Why don't you play Minnesota. The game?
Bold prediction. What? McAllister averages over 55 net yards.
God.
I knew it was going to be punts or penalties. I knew it was going to be one or the other.
No, I don't want to go into penalties. Yeah.
My player of the game is Tony Grimes back off the injury list, assuming he plays.
Okay. I'll be honest. My head says Minnesota, but my heart's saying Purdue because I really think Purdue just needs one win. They can get going. I think if they win this one, they can win the next two after that.
You also thought they were going to win last week, so you better just go.
I did.
Go boat boy.
Purdue 20. I cannot. I cannot take PJ Fleck. Never. Purdue 27. Minnesota 20. Player of the game. I'm going Antonio Harris. Picks up where he left off last week. I'm still a big Devin Mockbee guy. One of my favorite Boilers of all time. But I like what I see from this kid. 1-2 punch would be nice. And you know, I'll stick with him for my bold over 100 yards from the kid.
Like Why not?
The only way we're winning game is that CJ Madden and Nunley are in the backfield. That's my thing, because then the secondary doesn't have to sit out there and cover and look like Swiss cheese, is in the words of Evan.
Yeah, and that's how you create turnovers. So
they're not a great running team like they have been in the past against us, and that's where they kill us. Right. So it'll be interesting if Drake Lindsey can't play that well and ball out against our secondary.
7:30 start on the Big Ten Network. So you can always listen to Tim Newton and Mark Herman, too, if you can't catch the game. They're always fun to listen to. So, all right, let's pay some bills and let everybody know about our great sponsors, which the first one is Mad Mushroom. And I don't have the read up because I'm a procrastinator. You think I'd have this memorized after...
No, it's all right. I got you. So the Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mush, serving Boilermakers since 1993. Mad Mush is located in the heart of West Lafayette. It's well known for the home of the original cheese stick. Whenever any of the crew of the Boiler Breakdown are in town, we like to sit down, have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month. And the latest pizza of the month is actually a dessert pizza.
It looks awesome.
Yes.
This is incredible.
This screams diabetes. So their caramel apple pie has their brown sugar sauce, probably well loaded with some sugar, topped with lots of apples, hopefully Granny Smith, crushed with graham crackers, walnuts, and cinnamon, finished with a caramel drizzle. So next time you're in town, order online, tell them Boiler Breakdown sent you, and use the promo code BREAK5 for any $5 off an order over $20. Mad Mushroom, feed your head.
Give me like four of those.
I was going to say, I'm easily ordering over $20 worth of just those alone. Love dessert pizzas.
I'm sorry, guys. I don't want to be having insulin and pricking my fingers.
Who cares?
Worth it. Worth it.
One slice is enough of that.
One bite, everybody knows the rules, huh? Oh, I better not say that. I'm gonna get sued now.
You might want to blur that out.
That's all right. If he listens to this podcast, then we're doing something right. So, Michigan sucks, Dave. Okay. Webby, let us know about our other great sponsor, The Shop, which you're wearing a sharp looking shirt from The Shop, and I got this good looking tumbler I'm drinking out of tonight.
Yep. In honor of the basketball schedule being fully released, I wore a basketball shirt today. It is the month of October, so therefore there is Boilermaker basketball this week, even though it's an exhibition. Doesn't matter. Love it. But yeah, I mean, the shop's been serving hometown fans and hometown apparel since 2011. They've got 3 retail locations across the Indianapolis area, 1 in Carmel, 1 in Broderpool, 1 in downtown Indy. So if you're in the Indianapolis area, make sure you check them out. Boilermaker owns. Great place to pick up some all things Indiana, all the schools. Even if you're a Ohio State fan, got some stuff there too for you. If you can't make it in person, make sure you go online, shopindy.com, use promo code breakdown, and you get free shipping off your entire order. I know they were kind of pushing their Brain Smooth shirt they created towards the end of last year. That I need to get
preseason
now.
Preseason Big Ten Player of the Year, Brain Smooth.
Unanimous.
Wouldn't watch list too.
Yep. Obviously exciting times, and check out The Shop. Glad to have them back and make some great stuff.
My closing question to you guys is basketball related. I know we all three got to get going here, so I won't take up too much time, but I was thinking about this today.
Our basketball.
Well, we'll have plenty of time here in like 2 weeks. And I'm talking like secondary market or maybe not even secondary market. I don't know. Anyways. Are Purdue basketball tickets the hardest sporting event tickets to get in the state of Indiana?
I'd say exclusivity, probably.
I think they are.
Yeah. You right say excluding now. Excluding secondary market? Did you say excluding?
I mean, if we're talking secondary market, they're some of the most expensive ones.
Yeah, they're
just in the door.
That. Yeah, I would say yeah.
Yeah, I think so too, because, you know, I could hear people right now, well, the Colts, well, Lucas Oil, they got 65,000 seats or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still not going to get in the door cheap because NFL prices are pretty crazy.
Right. Notre Dame football. I don't
Pacers, know. What receiver.
But Notre Dame football holds 80 some thousand. Yeah. So I always see people on Facebook having tickets available. Now they're not cheap.
Yeah.
Indiana football, Clark. Not cheap, but you can still get tickets. Indiana basketball, easier to get than Purdue, I think.
Yeah.
Right now.
17,000 plus whatever it holds. That's a good question. Yeah. Just because of sheer exclusivity. Yeah.
I mean, think what's happened to ticket prices the last 5 years. I mean, that's the only downside of being a good basketball program is harder to get tickets. And when you get them, they're more expensive, but that's the price that happens when you're good. Everybody wants to watch you. So I was just thinking about that today when I was working. I'm like, it's just like the first time I think I can ever say that. But
yeah, I want to say something to Jason. I saw this on Hair and Rails. They did the math in regards to what's going to cost you to watch Purdue basketball this season. It's going to cost you before taxes $199, and that's using a free trial FUBU TV for the tournament in November.
That's cheaper than I thought it would be. To be honest.
Yeah, there's 17 games across Fox, CBS, Peacock. Yeah, 17 games, which is the most in the Big Ten.
That's crazy. Because I know you both are lovers of Big Ten Plus.
It's so great. Commentary stellar.
That's
the man. And boom goes the dynamite. Might as well bring that guy on.
I was blown away to see that Kent State game on Big Ten Plus. I know it's during.
And it's December 29th. Yeah.
I didn't catch all my right away. I'm like, the UND game, Big Ten Plus. Okay, it's an exhibition. I don't need it. And then you said two. I'm like, what? They looked at me like, why in December?
Yeah. Usually it's like, I don't know if it's the first Evansville. Is it the Evansville game? Because usually the first game is always like on Big Ten Network.
It's on Peacock.
Okay. Usually the first, at least recently, the first game's always been like network, because first game we've been good. And then like the second game is Big Ten Plus.
Yep.
But yeah, the Kent State one, I saw it and I was like, are you freaking kidding me? December 29th, I still got to use, can't even do like a month trial.
we're only on ESPN2 because of Alabama and SEC media rights. That's the only reason.
Which I'm surprised that's ESPN2 right now. There's got to be a better game, unless there's going to be a better game already on ESPN right now. Because
Alabama's not supposed to be as good, are they, this year? It's still going to be a tough game. Don't get me wrong.
It's going to be a top 25 game.
They're not like they've been the last 2 years.
Yeah, they lost a lot.
What's the day of that game again?
What?
December.
It's November. It's early, I'm pretty sure. Maybe? No? I'm trying to find it. November 13th. Thursday, November 13th.
Holy cow, that's a lot earlier than I thought it was.
Yeah, it is. That's like our first, like.
Sorry, I got game. That Marquette mixed up because Marquette December 13th.
Yeah, yeah. So we start with Evansville, Oakland at Bama. So it ramps up. I mean, thankfully we're playing at Kentucky for the exhibition, so at least like that sort of environment should be. But obviously, it's still an exhibition. But
true. Yeah. I won't. Man, it'll be rocking. Those teams will take it serious. Those teams will take it serious.
Yeah.
So. But,
shout out to Hammer Rails for putting that together and saying, like, you did a free trial. I was like,
this is wild anymore to follow any of your sports teams. Like, if you want to make sure whether it's NFL, MLB, NBA, like, if you want to watch every game, you got to shell out some money to do it. It's crazy.
Well, NBA might be cheaper this time around because it's just Prime and ESPN. It might be actually the cheapest.
That's a good point. Well, I guess, though, if you really want to watch, you got to get NBA.
Pass. That's the only thing.
You're a Washington Wizards fan.
You're a Washington Wizards fan. You need to be in the Hall of Fame of fans.
I agree. They might be the least cared about franchise in sports.
I forget they're even in
existence most of the time. I mean,
And
then the number two pick last year, 2 years ago, Sarr. Alex Sarr. No, sucks. Anywho, only one note I want to make is just the portal window. now, 15-day window, from January 2nd to the 16th. Unless you're playing in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
You know, dummy me, why can't we move it back? Well, I forgot. They are student athletes, so they're supposed to be enrolled to go to class. Yeah, that's why I said I even forgot they're supposed to do that, especially the ones that are playing in the playoff. But
I mean, there's you can't tell me Bryce Underwood goes to class.
Yeah,
probably doesn't step foot in the classroom. Probably all on the computer.
It's probably having ChatGPT do it.
I would like to think universities, especially one as prestigious as Michigan, would block those, but you never know. I don't know. It's crazy how much it's changed in 10 years. It makes me sick, to be honest. But
it is what it is.
It is what it is. We can't do anything about it. Yep. So, any final thoughts going into Saturday?
Row the boat.
Sink the boat.
Sink that. Pull the plug on that boat. Let it sink.
Row, baby.
Oh, my gosh. With that, let's boil up, hammer down, and beat Goldie and the Golden Gophers.
Boil up.